about.
Morning. It's a sleazy morning out there. You're listening to K-Porn, Holmes and Reams in the morning. Sleazy, slutty music all morning long.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Based on my rule, which is that any animal that can catch a frisbee is not food. That's how I divide the animal kingdom. Throw him a frisbee. If it bounces off his head, he's lunch.
That is
bogus.
Really bad. That's really bad.
That's disgusting.
Oh, I see. So you don't want to see a close-up picture of my anus because you hate gay men.
No, I don't want to look at a close-up picture of anyone's anus.
Homophobe.
And now.
We're just a bunch of savages, right? We're not like your fancy California friends, your George Clooney and your California raisins.
Our feature presentation.
You know, big stars like them.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, party people. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it is a Tuesday, and it's the 11th of Augusto. Hey, Alan McKay.
Good morning, Bean Baxter. How are you?
Where's our monkey today? Oh, he's out.
We're monkeyless.
We're monkey-free today.
Yeah. Monkeyless, monkey-free. It's two different tones, isn't it?
Oh, you mean you're suggesting that one sounds like it's a good thing and the other sounds like it's a bad thing?
I feel that, yeah.
Really?
Let me think
about that. Monkeyless, monkey free. I don't know. I think they're synonymous with one each other. I mean, think about it like sugarless, sugar free. Same thing, right?
That sounds different than in terms of Kevin. Hmm. Monkey free sounds, oh, yes, we're free.
Oh, that's not how I feel at all. Are you kidding me?
No.
It makes me so sad when there's no monkey.
I agree 100%.
Because I love watching that disintegration. I don't want to miss a minute.
Well, Chip has learned from the best, so
okay.
Fingers crossed.
True. You're in good hands.
Fingers
Chip,
crossed.
Chip, we're asking you to step up and screw up today. Would
Penis.
You please?
There
Penis you indeed. Yes, Kevin, that's true. Hey, Allie, what's it like working on a local morning television show? You did it for a number of years. Mm-hmm. What's that like?
Wow. It's...
I know that's kind of a broad question, but did you guys at Channel 5 all get along with each other?
We did, yeah. It tends to be quite a close group because it's the same people every single morning, and you mm-hmm. work such odd hours that by the time you're off work, you're like, hey, let's get a cocktail, but it's 11. Let's do it anyway. So it's a very tight group.
And how about the material that you were asked to present every day? Were people into it, or did they roll their eyes and think it was all dumb? So a lot of the stories that they had to cover.
I think with me,
do they mock
since
their
was,
own news, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely, because for me it was features, so it tended to be, you know, the fun stuff. But the poor reporters that had to do the breaking news, which was something that happened 14 hours earlier, and they're just standing in a pitch black parking lot. That's ridiculous.
I love those.
Yeah.
It was at a McDonald's, much like this one.
Exactly.
Where the event went down yesterday.
4 days ago, in a whole other city. Yeah, it's good.
Well. The reason I bring it up, and you probably saw this tape that was going around yesterday, is the Fox local morning show in Orlando made national news because one of their anchors just hit a breaking point. Kind of like Ralph did yesterday, by the way, when he was talking about some of the coverage of the election. This guy hit a breaking point because he was asked to do Kylie Jenner names her rabbit story.
What?
And he's had it up to here with Kardashians. And I've got some of the tape. And like many local morning news shows, they do talk all over each other, and it's kind of annoying. They do have one woman who's in this shot who's in a separate location, and she's probably the Allie McKay of this Fox affiliate in Orlando. So she's out doing a story somewhere, but she's also on screen interacting with the anchors.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear the meltdown of anchor John Brown when he's asked to do yet another Kardashian story. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I'm having a good Friday, so I refuse to talk about the Kardashians today. You are on your own, Amy. I can't do it. I've had enough Kardashians. I can't take any more Kardashian stories on this show.
Okay, well, we got to get it in now because you mentioned it, John. Kylie Jenner got a new... So Kylie Jenner got a new...
Let me ask you this, John.
Oh, he left.
Let me ask you this, John, because it'll kind of flow into the story and you don't have to talk about the Kardashians. How would you like it if your daughter named her pet... John.
Okay, because Kylie Jenner named her bunny rabbit Bruce. Okay, so that's the story. So this lady out of the studio is trying to, I don't know, humanize the story for the anchor. Try to make it non-Kardashian, I think, is what she's trying to do so he can swallow it.
How would you like that? That's exactly what Kylie Jenner did. She got a little gray, beautiful, fluffy rabbit and named it Bruce.
Oh,
I don't care. This family, I'm sick of this family.
But do you think
I can't take it anymore?
Is there something psychological behind this?
It's like a non-story. Like it's a non-story. We're talking about this family every freaking day on this show.
It's
nobody cares about this family anymore.
Oh my God, that lady who laughs like a hyena, I can't take it. I'm ready to walk off this show because of what that show's doing. He's had it up to here with the Kardashians.
I've had enough. It's Friday. I want to have a good Friday. I don't want to talk about the Kardashians. That's enough of these guys.
The sad part about it is that I agree with you.
Does anybody listen to the research? Nobody cares about the Kardashians anymore.
That's not true.
He's on fire.
Nobody cares.
People watch
the show. We do it every day.
Breathe.
Watch the show.
Breathe, my love. Breathe. There, the news is out, done, over. Have a great weekend.
I think it's Friday for him.
His head looks like a tomato right now.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about him. It's enough of these guys.
I'm sorry, Jenny, that you had to witness
this.
Sorry.
He's going to die of a stroke or something, right?
Here's the thing with
news
and news cycles. They will keep doing the story until one station decides they're not. And then they will stop. That's how it goes. With breaking news, when you're switching channels and every station has the same breaking news on, every station is waiting for that one channel to pull out before they can do it. I didn't get a ding for pull out. Impressive. But what I'm saying is every single station is monitoring the other stations and what they're doing. That's all it boils down to. Pathetic as it sounds, it's the truth.
And I can also imagine that a dumb story like the Kylie Jenner bunny story, because it's a morning news show, they probably have to do it every half hour too.
Yep, exactly.
Because you got a new audience cycling in and out all the time.
Absolutely.
So he just got to. I mean, I think he speaks for many of us, though, don't you think? There are probably a lot of people. I think it's at the point now where there were probably a lot of people high-fiving him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure his email and Twitter blew up from people that were like, hello, stop it then. And he won't. That's the thing. They will then have an editorial meeting. The executive producer will say, we've got to keep doing this. People are watching this E! Show. And then they'll do it again on Monday.
Right. Exactly.
So sad.
Hey, every time we talk to Harvey about the Kardashians, he says they draw tremendous numbers to TMZ. So there's still a lot of audience out there. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean, shut up.
That's unkind. All right, sir. All right. That's fine. Hey, tickets to the new Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart movie called American Ultra on the program today. Also, why did Bjork cancel her tour? You'll be surprised at the reason. Speaking of reasons, we're going to want to talk to you in the 6 o'clock hour if you hate a celebrity, but you're not sure why. Something about that person just drives you crazy. And it's not that they're bad. It's not that you don't like their acting or their singing or whatever. They just rub you the wrong way. And you can't put your finger on it, but you just hate them. We want to talk to you about that in the 6 o'clock hour. The Bachelor in Paradise Report means Ralph and Petras break down last night's episode on ABC. We got a brand new Bean Makes His Guest on the program today. And the cherry on top, a little visit from a band called Fallout Boy in studio this morning. They're going to be interviewed and performing live. That starts just after 7 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on K-Rock. Tuesday morning on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:55. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
What's going on, buddy?
BG, BG, BG.
Those were the days, man.
Those were the days when you were doing all the hot hits.
I was hot rock and flame throwing disc jockey.
You were playing the Stacks of Wax.
It's true, man. 50,000-watt blowtorch.
Do you miss playing all music? You never miss just spinning the discs the kids love, giving them what they just mainlining hot hits or whatever the phrase was the kids used back then.
That.
I don't know that either.
No, look, I love the music, a lot of the music that we play here on K-Rock, but I wish we could play less of it on our show.
Yeah, because we're trying to talk.
We're trying to jam in some songs where we can, and it works us.
I don't miss those days. You like to talk.
But I think that's maybe a lot of people tune in because they want to hear you and Allie and Kevin and me talk, don't you?
Do you want to rip the knob off still? Is that a thing?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Fiend would still like you to rip
the knob
off.
I think I'm going to lock it in and then rip the knob off, I think. Yeah. Like you do.
It's Tuesday. That means it's new release day, but not for music. How have you been coping, Bean? I've been coping with the new release day, the new Friday music release day.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Just terrible. Just as it gets worse every week.
Have you been getting new music?
Constant just, state of depression as a result
of it. Or just not getting the music? Or?
No, I'm still getting. I'm just going. I'm rearranging my whole goddamn schedule to go out on Fridays to get it.
So you are going out on Fridays to get it. You can't wait till the following Tuesday to get it.
No. I like to stay current.
You are a magician.
It's no good once it's 3 days old. You can't listen to music once it's 3 days old.
Everyone
though.
Knows it's got a shelf life of 48 hours, and the music just turns sour. You should add some chocolate to it.
That's a great idea.
Maybe you could get it down on a Tuesday if you just add a little chocolate to the music. This
That's
is about
a great idea. That'll buy me a few more days.
Absolutely. In terms of TV shows on DVD and DVD sales, Hot Pursuit. With Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara, that feature film's on DVD, finally. Hmm. Finally, you can see the powerhouse team that is Witherspoon and Vergara.
Did they say in that what you're reading there, Ralph, why it's on DVD?
Does not say. Okay. I know they said they had a hard time making it stick. They would put it on DVD and it kept falling off. Apparently, even the DVD
kept saying, hell no.
Yes. I am Chris Farley, the documentary. We just talked to his brother about Kevin yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not Kevin at all. What's his brother's name?
Kevin.
Is it Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Kevin, yeah.
That was on Spike last night. I guess it debuted, and now it's available on DVD if you want to check that out. TV shows on DVD, Scandal Season 4, Person of Interest Season 4, The Nick Season 1, Two Broke Girls Season 4, Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, the 16th year, and Dig Season 1. Hard for me to believe that the TV seasons on DVD is still a thing. That
right.
that merits manufacture and then sales.
Yeah. If even I'm not buying it, I don't know who is.
And
I can see, like, for the older classic TV shows that maybe aren't as readily available on Netflix or Hulu or something like that, but I'm sure Scandal Season 4, you can find it.
Yeah, it's readily available.
Wherever you want.
Right. Get it on your iTunes or your Hulu or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you see the Columbia House company that provided those DVD and CD clubs for all those
penny.
Many years for a penny. You get 10 CDs for a penny.
Yeah.
As long as you commit to buy, I think, one every year after that or something. Bankrupt. They filed for bankruptcy yesterday.
Should have charged a nickel.
That's right. Oh. They just had a better business plan all those years ago. They'd be better off.
I saw that headline, Ralph, and I thought, as I'm sure many people did, I can't believe they're still in business. Like, I haven't even heard them advertised in years. But they were still out there doing it, huh?
Well, back in the day, boys and girls, that was the jam.
That was right how you got your music.
That was the shiznit right there.
Yeah. That was a good deal.
Oh, you'd get that, it'd fall out of your magazine you're reading, that little card would come out. You're like, 10 CDs for a penny? This is the best deal ever! And then, or even better, if you get like a Rolling Stone or a TV guide, they would come with like, or they mail it to you. You'd get like 1,000 tiny little postage stamp size album covers, and you had to lick the back of the album, and you had to stick it to a card, and then mail that card in with your little stickers on there of the CDs you wanted.
Kids nowadays don't
they don't
know.
Appreciate the adventure
with their internet.
It was the Columbia House. Those were good times. Then you realized it took me years. The Columbia House was called Columbia House because it was only albums available on Columbia Records.
Oh.
And it was like, I kept looking for like bands that I wanted to get in the 10 free CDs. Like, why can I only get Pat Benatar? Why is every one of her albums available, but I can't find anything else?
Yeah. That was a flawed system.
Sad news. Hey, William Shakespeare was a stoner. That explains so much.
He's prolific for a guy who was on weed.
He was. Oh, look, he was like a Victorian era Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
He apparently was just a pot smoking fiend. Here's how they know that. They found several of his clay pipes that were found in his garden and his home, dating over 400 years. And they took them and they ran them through what they call a sensitive gas chromatograph. It's a chromatograph is what it's called.
Okay.
Right. The very sensitive gas chromatograph. And that revealed traces of marijuana in the pipes.
How about that?
Huh. Yeah. Apparently there was pot in 8 of the pipes they found out of 24, nicotine in another, and 2 of them had residual of coke. Peruvian coca leaves.
Wow.
So Bill was just getting higher than a kite.
Was getting down.
To be or not to be stoned? That's the question. Thank you. Thank you so much. So there you go. Now you know, kids. If you want to be a creative genius like William Shakespeare, just smoke up.
Apparently so. Can't argue with success.
It's already after 6 o'clock. I'm running that late. I apologize. All right, birthdays. We'll get to them later. It's not that important. It's just somebody's birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
21 Pilots.
Or Palms, if you're Kevin, on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, you want to go to Mexico to see Muse in Mexico City? You want to win a 2015 Dodge Challenger? You want a $500 Hot Topic gift card? All that can be possible if you pick up the new K-Rock Summer Sticker for 2015. It's available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Also, don't forget today from 1 till 3, you can find K-Rock and the Hot Topic in West Covina in the Plaza West Covina. So if that's your neighborhood, stop on by to win additional prizes, including tickets to upcoming shows by Foo Fighters, Social D, and more. K-Rock and Hot Topic. Details at krock.com. Ralph broke the news to us yesterday. It's bad news for Bjork fans, Allie. She has canceled the rest of her summer tour.
It's devastating.
She did like 2 shows and then said it was too difficult because, let me read the statement for you from Bjork. I would like to thank everyone for the concert last night. I have no words to describe how grateful I am for this tour. I would like to thank the crew and the promoters and the musicians and the management, the designers, and most of all, my personal little team in the audience. These have truly been some of my most sublime moments, but singing this album has been intense and the internal clock of it is different to the other ones. It had sort of had to behave in its own little way. Both the urgency of the leak and now this sudden closure for reasons beyond my control is characteristic of that. What do you suppose she's talking about there?
I think I can translate Bjork.
Okay, good.
I'm singing songs about a horrible breakup and I don't want to relive it every night.
So it's just too painful. The songs are still too fresh, too personal for her.
Yes.
Well, she is a professional. She is an entertainer, and that is what she does and has been doing her whole career. So let's find out if she's going to rebound from this. Our good friend Bjork on the line from Iceland right now. Hi, Bjork.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, we're okay, but we're a little bit worried about you. It sounded like it was quite an emotional night the other night on that show.
It was magical and emotional, as if all of the angles of music had been broken by the lead pipes of love.
I take it back. I don't speak Bjork. Are you feeling okay now, or are you still working through some stuff?
It is hard to say goodbye to the light that is coming through the trees every time you look through a bear's ear.
Okay. So you had a breakup and you wrote songs about it, but yes. The breakup was a couple of years ago. It seems like you should be able to just sing the songs now and it wouldn't tear you up inside.
No, but the cotton balls that have been soaked in kerosene never stop flaming upon the big lighters of love.
Oh, that's beautiful, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the plan if you've canceled all these dates, disappointing many European fans who had been looking forward to the shows? Are you just going to sit at home and contemplate, or are you working through? Are you getting some help?
First of all, let me say I would like to apologize to both of the fans who are waiting for me in Europe. They must be very disappointed.
They were very excited.
You want to name them by name?
Yes.
Or?
Aleka.
Okay.
And Sven.
Okay.
No, they were waiting breathlessly for the tour, and I'm sorry I can't perform these songs, but you have to know that sometimes the stream water that runs over the mossy rock often passes through the toad's anus.
And that is good news or bad news for us, Bjork?
Well, it's good news for the toad, but bad news for you. Okay. But I am working on some new music, so
okay.
Hopefully these songs will be easier to perform live, and people will be able to come to the magical shell that is the underwater sea of lobster love.
Any chance we can hear what you're working on?
I do have some new music if
wow.
you'd like
Excellent.
To hear it.
Yeah.
That's great, Bjork. Thank you.
I love too much sometime when I put my hair in a fan. It hurts. Ow! that so much, so much it hurts. Like chewing on tinfoil without filling. Ow! Ow!
It's very relatable.
It is. Sometimes love is painful.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And that's making you feel better. Maybe some happy songs. Maybe that's what you should be working on, is some songs that are about happy things, not sad subjects.
I do have a happy song.
Oh, could we hear some of that, please?
I'm happy when I cut myself.
Oh.
Ow!
Okay, that's not happy, Bjork.
A little bit happier.
No, you're just inflicting more pain on yourself. Maybe something about rainbows and unicorns and...
I do have a song about a unicorn.
Okay.
I met a unicorn! He's ran me through with his horn!
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to die in all of your songs, Bjork?
Just wishful thinking.
Tell everyone you know, 7 o'clock this morning, Fall Out Boy will be here at the world-famous K-Rock for an interview and performance live acoustic in the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, they played last night at the Hollywood Bowl with Wiz Khalifa at the end of their Boys of Summer tour. So I've been getting a lot of heat from you guys, and I guess you want to talk about it here, about me and Josh Gad.
It's inexplicable. It's insane.
I agree with you, but I can't do anything about it. Look, here's the topic. There are some celebrities that, for whatever reason that you cannot put your finger on, rub you the wrong way. And Josh Gad is that guy for me. And I know what you're going to say is he's talented and he's funny and he's smart and he's nice and he's never been in a bad thing. And those are all legitimate reasons.
Pixels. But other than Pixels, he's done good work.
And I thought after we had him on to talk about the comedians, and he was so delightful and so charming and so funny, right after that I said, Bean, what do you think? He goes, he was great. Still don't like him.
You'd think that would cure him. Yes. That experience would cure me. But no, he's like, I don't like him.
But you know what it's like, guys. There's some people that you just don't want to see their fat, furry faces on your TV. Oh, they just show up and you go, like, tell me if I'm wrong, Ralph. Who's that guy that you used to always make fun of on 30 Rock? The guy who wears the silly hats.
Oh, that dope.
That guy. He's a very funny comedian.
That's
he's a very
reason.
Funny,
that's a reason.
Very talented
I can
actor.
Point to it. Say, I don't like his dumbass hats, his trucker hats with the lame jokes on them. Just
so
dumb.
You don't have any problem with him. You just didn't like that character wearing those hats.
It was Eddie. He wears them. That guy wears them, too. It wasn't the character. That guy wore them before the character and after the character.
Oh,
wears
okay,
those dumbass trucker hats with sayings on them. Stop that dumbass guy.
So you've got a reason, but you're saying with Josh Gad, I don't have a reason.
There's anti-reasons. He's better than most people, let alone as good as.
He is a delight. Besides the fact that he is a Dolphins fan, I think he is a wonderful... Sorry, Chip.
Well, we do have to hold that against
him. That's the only thing I can think.
Charming. Every time he's been on the show, he's been on like twice. Just brings it, entertaining, funny.
Yep.
Delightful.
I mean,
on top of his body of work, which is tremendous.
I can't argue with that, but I mean, like you were heavy into the comedians,
TV
show.
Comedians.
And I love Billy Crystal too, and really wanted to watch it for that reason. But Josh Gad was a deal breaker for me. The fact that he co-starred in that meant I couldn't watch it.
That is madness.
No sense. None.
I don't know what to tell you guys.
Well, you're the problem. Explain yourself. How can we figure it out if you don't know what to tell us?
But aren't you the same way with Jennifer Aniston?
Well, no. She's a bitch.
What's wrong with her? She's very talented and very funny.
First of all, very talented?
Yes. She's very talented.
She's fine. She could be fine in some projects.
She's been really funny. What about that road trip going to Mexico with the hookers movie? What about that?
I love road trip going to Mexico with the hookers.
You know that one.
That
Chip, help me out. Which one am I thinking of?
Chip doesn't know.
I'm usually good at this, but I don't even know what you're talking
about. Wasn't it with like Ed Helms or somebody?
Oh, and they were smuggling drugs or something?
Yes, smuggling drugs across the border.
Meet the Millers?
Yes, Meet the Millers. Very funny in that. I didn't see it, by the way, but very funny.
Oh,
in that.
You son of a bitch.
She was great in The Breakup. I did see that. She was great in The Breakup.
She was very talented.
The breakup, but she seems just pissy.
Really?
She seems just cranky. Just, ugh.
But do you ever see her when she's on talk shows, when she's on Kimmel or something like that? She's always funny and
very
delightful.
Likeable.
Yeah, very likable.
She's covering up something. She strikes me as one of those people who's like pretending to be nice, but she really just has a deep-seated hard core of blah.
Did you feel that way back when the whole world had a crush on Rachel during the Friends years?
She was always my least favorite friend.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get a bad Rachel cut and that did it?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was my haircut. When I tried to emulate the Rachel cut, it turned out poorly. I never forgave her. No, she just seems like she's just a bad egg. Cranky, just not particularly... Light takes herself way too seriously, just seems just...
She finally got a man to marry her again.
Yeah, well, he had to with that whole gunpoint thing.
I don't think that's a...
There's any evidence to talk about it.
We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a celebrity that you can't articulate maybe why you dislike this person so much, but you feel it, we want to hear from you. Who's the celebrity and why don't you like him or her? 1-800-520-1067. Monica already wrote in and she said, I like his music. I think he's funny, but I can't stand him as an actor or a person. Jack Black.
Really?
How
he's
dare
so
you,
over the
ma'am.
Top, dramatic, and fake Bleck. Now, this is somebody who says she likes his acting, likes his music, but Jack Black personally drives her crazy because of his demeanor.
Well, as people that know him personally, he couldn't be a kinder, more gentle, likable human.
He's a jolly old elf.
Yeah.
You're wrong, lady.
Well,
that's Jennifer Aniston. Ugh. Right? Who's with me on that one? Doesn't she seem like just a chap ass? Like she's just...
No, I
high
look,
maintenance,
I,
just... Ugh, blue.
Has it always been this way?
Always.
Or, okay, I was going to say maybe I can pinpoint it. Back your friendship from, with Chelsea Handler?
Well, that certainly did not help her cause at all in my book.
I would think but that
was, this
be
was back to the back to the Leprechaun days.
All right, but... Oh, Leprechaun, that's an early
oh
movie
God,
reference.
Oh, God, what a pull.
But let me ask you this, Ralph. I believe that the tabloids have shaped a lot of people's opinion of Jennifer Aniston. It's no fault of her own that every single week at the tabloids you see she's fighting or she's divorcing or she's breaking up or she's aborting or whatever it is they're accusing her of doing that week.
What the heck?
I'm just saying, I feel like there's so much written and speculated about her that has nothing to do with her. And is it possible that maybe some of that is coloring your perception of Jennifer Aniston?
I suppose. I mean, if you just walk around the world, you're going to absorb some stuff. But I'm not a particular reader of the tabloids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I sit down and go through Us Weekly magazine.
No, but in the course of you putting together your showbiz beat, you see a lot of stories, even
yeah,
ones
but
you don't
of a,
do.
It's more of a hit I get off of personal... When I watch her, when I watch her in interviews or I watch her on television or on a talk show or in her work, I get that hit. Sometimes you just can't help it.
Allie, I want to hear from you, but let's go to Rudy first, line one. He's in Orange. Now, here's an example of somebody that I think the rest of us are going to look at and go, how could anyone dislike this person? He's so awesome. Rudy, what's going on with you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Rudy.
Good morning.
Right when you guys started talking right away, my mind went directly to Michael Cera. I can't stand that guy. All his acting chops are at about level one. He's just the same as Adam Sandler. I can't stand looking at the guy. Maybe it is this Toucan Sam face. I don't know what it is. I can't stand the guy.
Sam face.
But you understand the way he's acting is perfect for the characters that he's playing, though. Perfect.
No, I get that, but it's just like, I'm seriously getting pissed off, and I'm like, what are you talking about the guy?
We are ruining his day.
I know. But, when you watch it, you have to like Arrested Development, right? One of the greatest shows of all time.
Never watched it because he's in it.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, because that's when you really appreciate what a brilliant actor he is and the subtlety of his performance. And he conveys so much with his Toucan Sam face.
If it's anything like his little witty remarks that he does in all his other movies, no way in hell I'm watching it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to put you down as a no for Michael Cera. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate
Here's the
it.
Here's the thing in Rudy's defense. Michael Cera does tend to play the same guy over and over again. And if that vibe, if that particular quirky nature of that character is not your taste, I could see where that would wear thin.
Yeah, he knows what he's good at, that's for sure. All right, let's take Danielle in Gardena, line three, please. This one I think is going to surprise you. One of the most acclaimed and accomplished actors of all time is the one who bugs Danielle. Welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Good morning. I have a loathing, deep-seated hate for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Wow.
Yes.
But I thought all girls were in love with him since Titanic.
No, I even call him that guy because I refuse to say his name. My whole family knows who I mean when I say that guy.
Wow, that'll teach him. So you taught him, Danielle.
What is it about him you don't like? Because you can't give him the Michael Cera treatment. He has played lots of different kinds of roles.
I don't know. I have no way of pinpointing it. I hate him. I see him on TV, I change the channel. Even at the award shows, he's walking the red carpet. I will change him until I figure he's off the TV. I hate him.
This is a whole other level.
Yeah,
it really is.
Her whole family's aware of when she talks about him.
With that guy.
That guy.
It's like your arch nemesis. He has to know you exist, and you have an arch nemesis.
Yes.
All right, Danielle.
Wow, well, that's
good
nuts.
Luck with that.
Thank you, I guess.
Okay, thank you indeed. All right, 1-800-520-1065. Look at this list of celebrities that are hated by our audience, Ralph. Well, look at this list.
John and Whittier, he's got a reason. Everyone else, I'm a little confused by.
We're hanging up on you and Adam Sandler, sorry. All right, your call's coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Talk about the celebrities you hate for no reason. Although Mina writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, she says she has a reason. Angelina Jolie. I don't buy her philanthropic image at all. I think she's fake and contrived, and I cannot stand her.
That's dumb.
It is dumb because can't you verify it's not a philanthropic image? She literally gives millions of dollars away to help kids.
She's been, like, walking through impoverished villages in Guyana, for God's sakes, holding infants and, like, suckling them from her own breasts.
Wow. Too far.
No, it's not. She's done it.
She's done that.
She has.
But isn't it – I think Ralph's point is, isn't it the opposite of fake and contrived because she's literally on the ground doing all of those things?
No one has worked harder to create a fake image if her image is fake than she has with all the time – money and energy she spends doing wonderful things around the globe.
Steven writes in, Maggie Gyllenhaal is the bane of my existence. I think it's just because of her face, because I don't have any other reason.
Yeah. I think that some of it is physical. It just there's a gut reaction to someone's physicality that bothers you.
And we're going to go back to the phones after this. So the Kevin and Bean text account, by the way, which is 2KROCK. If you ever want to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show, it's 25767. Sacramento writes in, I hate Rivers Cuomo. I don't know why, but by extension, it makes Weezer seem annoying to me. He's just a weird, creepy dude, and I hate him. Rivers Cuomo. We love him, right?
We do. He's the best.
All right. Let's get back to some calls. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for celebrities that you hate, but you don't know why, necessarily. Okay? That's the distinction, because a lot of people are calling with your Kristen Stewart's and your Keanu Reeves, and it's pretty evident why in those cases, right? Let's try Paul in Anaheim. He's on line one. He's got one who's a celebrity that I consider universally adored, but apparently maybe not. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I don't know what it is, but Melissa McCarthy. I don't know what it is. I just find her so annoying, and she's the same in every movie. She's the reason I didn't see Spy, and she's probably the reason why I'm not going to see Ghostbusters, and it really breaks my heart.
Wow. She's a national treasure. She's a comedic genius.
National treasure? No!
Paul, it's okay. Calm down. Things are going to work out.
Ralph, your thoughts on Melissa McCarthy?
I don't understand that at all. I mean, doesn't it strike you as odd, Paul, when you say, well, it's like being with Josh Gad. If everyone loves her and adores her and thinks she's so funny, doesn't that make you wonder?
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that everybody does love her and adore her.
Oh, you're just a contrarian.
A little hipster backlash.
You hated Melissa McCarthy before anyone did. Yeah. You can hang your hat on that, Paul.
All right, Paul, let me ask this, and I hate to bring it up, but I know people are thinking it. Is it just because she's a bigger lady? Is that it, maybe?
Not at all.
Okay. All right, then you're wrong. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it,
More
sir.
More cushion for the pushing, right, Paul?
That's right. Let's go to Freddie LaPuente, line three. Oh, talk about a hack. I can see why Freddie's got it in for this actress. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Freddie. Good. Yeah. Who do you hate?
I hate Meryl Streep. And I know why.
She's the worst.
Oh, that bitch.
She's the worst. She's terrible at everything.
Because of Kramer versus Kramer. That's why I hate her.
Because she walked out on her son?
That's why.
Does it hit a little close to home, Freddie?
She got custody back.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. That's why I hate her.
You know what? You have a point.
Freddie.
That was the wrong decision.
I know. That, Dustin Hoffman needed a better lawyer. That's the only
reason. Okay. All right. Well, at least you got a legitimate reason for hating Meryl Streep for the last 40 years.
Because of a fictional judge's decision in a fictional custody case.
Because she acted in a movie you didn't like the way it went. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Marlene, please. Line 6, Los Angeles.
That's why I don't like Leonardo DiCaprio, because that damn boat went down. What the hell is that all about? Why didn't he do more to keep the boat up?
It's his fault, man. Right. How about a little less posing on the bow and a little more throwing water over the side?
That's right. Or all right, Marlene, you're up next. Over the side, as sometimes they call it.
What's going on, dear?
Seth Rogen.
What?
What? He looks like he would smell. Like, he looks like Big Ken in Charlie Brown. Like, I don't want to be around him. I don't want to see him on a big screen.
Wow.
The way he laughs, it just really rubs me the wrong way.
Hmm. I mean, he is – look, we love Seth, and he's a funny and a super nice guy. But I get what you're saying, that he's hairy and smokes a lot of weed. And maybe you think about that in confined quarters. It doesn't smell good to you.
Yeah, and just the laughing after everything he says. It's almost like he's apologizing for saying it. And I want him – you know what I mean? I want him to be a little bit stronger with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from. You're wrong, but I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much.
Let's get to number 7, someone we can all agree on, please. Can we do that?
We'll get to her. Here's another one on the Kevin Bean text line from the 951. Jake Gyllenhaal. I understand he's a great actor and can do so much, but he creeps me out, and I'm not sure when that started.
Wow,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Both Gyllenhaals getting hit today. That's
a... Again, a terrific actor. All right, let's go to let's go to Ashley on line 3 in Torrance, please. Let's see if we can break this one down.
Hi, guys.
Who's the celebrity you hate but you don't know why?
I know this is going to sound really, really bad because he's in the same building with you guys, but I can't stand Carson Daly.
What? Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I think it's pretty annoying.
What is it about Carson? Because as Ralph has pointed out many times, you watch him on the Voice and you go, that's a guy who knows how to host a show. He's really good at it.
I mean, I don't feel that way when I watch him on the Voice, that's for sure.
Wow.
Is it just too much, Carson? Because it seemed at one point he was on everything. You couldn't shake a dead something. What is a dead cat? Swing a dead cat?
I hate Ally McKay. Does that count?
So you don't know what it is? There's just something about his face you don't like?
Yeah, I just feel like overly talks. He's like an aggressive talker. He's always interrupting people. But
he's an aggressive talker.
I hate those talk show hosts that do all that talking.
Was he all right, let me ask you this. I'm just fishing here. But did you grow up on TRL and he was mean to NSYNC or something? Is that where it started?
No, I used to love him on TRL. And then I started listening to him on the radio and that's what killed it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to one who's wrong wrap this up.
Who's
Megan
right.
in San Dimas on line 7, please. Clearly, she's thinking of a different celebrity. They put the wrong name up on the screen. We'll see what's happening here. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Who's the celebrity that you dislike the most?
I cannot stand Taylor Swift.
Preach, sister.
Yeah,
preach.
We get it.
Boy, you're wrong about that.
You're
what's the
so
problem?
Right.
What's the problem there? That she's just so pretty and so talented and so nice and so smart?
Well,
are those the reasons you dislike her?
And then she looks like a dumb cat, and she has a lovely personality. It's just for a lack of personality, you know? Like, there's something wrong there.
Doesn't she seem completely artificial to you, Megan? Like, everything she does is calculated and put on. I don't find anything authentic about her at all.
Completely. And every time, I'm sorry, Bean, every time you say her name, my eyes roll so far into the back of my head.
Yeah. We can feel it.
They're going to get stuck.
Right.
Now we have a name for that feeling. It's Megan rolling her eyes because we do it too.
Yes.
So she's having too much fun being awesome, if I'm interpreting you correctly.
She's having too much fun annoying me, really.
Annoying you. Okay. Yeah. All right, Megan, you're wrong, but we love you and thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
She's a bitch.
Playing the Hollywood Bowl last night, playing the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, talking about the band Fall Out Boy, joining us in studio coming up next here on the World Famous K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. We were just talking in the last break about how everyone hates Taylor Swift, and now we can add Miley Cyrus to that list. Miley Cyrus talked to Marie Claire magazine about the fact that she's considered by some to be a bad example, Miley Cyrus, for the way she conducts herself publicly and her lifestyle. And Miley pointed a finger at Taylor Swift's Bad Blood video, where Taylor Swift and her squadron of lollipop heads go around murdering and killing and throwing each other out of windows. I don't get the violence revenge thing, Miley Cyrus told the magazine. That's supposed to be a good example, and I'm a bad role model because I'm running around with my boobs out? I'm not sure how boobs are worse than guns. Preach, sister!
Miley, don't let them get you down. They're all jealous.
Right.
Is that Trump?
Yes. Oh, Donald knows.
He knows.
The Donald knows. She also says there's so much sexism, ageism, you name it, in the music industry. Kendrick Lamar sings about LSD, and he's cool. I do it, and I'm a druggy whore. She's got a point.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a druggy whore.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I'm glad you brought that little Donald Trump out there, Bean, because the Donald Trump-Megyn Kelly battle is still a-brewing. They asked Megyn Kelly last night if she would apologize to Donald Trump for questioning him at last week's presidential debate on past comments he has made concerning women.
By the way, let me stop you right there. Her question was just asking him to clarify remarks that he has made.
Right.
She didn't make something up to attack him with.
Right.
She said, hey, you're running for president. You said this. How do you defend it? That was the extent of her tough questioning.
I can't imagine why anyone would expect her to apologize to him
right.
for that question, by the way. She said, I certainly will not apologize for doing good journalism. All right, easy.
Slow down.
Back off. hold on a second. She said, Mr. Trump did interviews over the weekend that attacked me personally. I decided not to respond. I suppose that's the high road. But the more interesting...
You don't know, man.
I do know, Donald. The more interesting conversation, I think, was between Fox News owner Roger Ailes, or the boss over there, rather, and Donald Trump. Apparently, Trump called Roger to complain about his treatment during the...
Oh, God.
...during the debate. Is anybody more thin-skinned than Donald Trump?
No.
No.
In a memo that was obtained by CNN, Ailes said that he had a cordial conversation with Trump. Donald Trump and I spoke today. We discussed our concerns, and again, I expressed my confidence in Megyn Kelly. She's a brilliant journalist, and I support her 100%. I assured him that we will continue to cover his campaign with fairness and balance. So, apparently, all is well.
Sadly, the American dream is dead.
Yeah, that's for sure. Donald's numbers are up, actually, since that dust up at the in the debate.
He's my candidate, I know that.
His lead has increased by 7 points. Now he's at 32% in terms of if the election were held today, who would most Republicans vote for that were polled for president?
Don't whoa like that's a bad thing, Allie. We're going to have the most entertaining country in the world when Mr. Trump is elected.
And as soon as somebody in another country says, you know what, let's go to war, he's just going to start bombing people.
I will bomb you because you're
screwed.
A loser.
Exactly.
Losers should be bombed.
That's right.
More crossover of politics and show business. Of course, they're all one and the same thing now. But Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie is running for Congress. Half pint.
Yeah,
she's running for Congress as a Democrat from Michigan's 8th District. Hmm. Apparently, that's where she lives now. She lives in Livingston County, right. Michigan. I guess that includes the state's capital, Lansing, and Oakland. I'm running for Congress to make life a little easier for all the families who feel they have fallen through the cracks in today's economy, she said. Part of her platform will be to churn your own butter, make your own clothes, and help Pa cut the wood.
She might win on that.
I think she would. If Father Murphy out there on the stump with her, I'd vote for her. Mary looking all blind, trying to feel people's faces.
Lonzo.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wrestler Hulk Hogan is 62 years old today. How does it feel to be 62 there, Hulkster?
Not so good this year, brother.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Tough times for the Hulkster.
Actress Viola Davis is 50 years old today. Our good friend, UFC announcer and comedian Joe Rogan, celebrates his 48th birthday. Actress Anna Gunn. How great was she on Breaking Bad, by the way?
Terrific.
47 years old. Actor Chris Hemsworth is 32. And rapper Asher Roth celebrates 30 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
town for another big show last night at the Hollywood Bowl, the conclusion of the Boys of Summer Tour Fallout Boy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Pete Wentz, how are you, man?
What's up?
Good.
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Welcome back to K-Rock. I feel like it's been a while since you've graced us with your presence. But you guys have been busy, it seems like.
Yeah, we have. This summer was pretty crazy, just in general. It's been, you know, hectic with the touring and whatnot, but...
Let's talk about that tour, because now that... So last night was the last night of the Boys of Summer tour. Mm-hmm. That was you and Wiz Khalifa.
Yes.
He must have the greatest weed in the world, right?
He does.
Being on tour with him must be just the best.
Well, he does. I personally don't smoke weed because I get, like, too paranoid. Like, I'm, like, sure the cops are, like, right. Like, I'm like, are you a cop? What's happening? You know, whatever. I'm not fun to be around. I smelled his weed a bunch, and it's like the kind of weed that smells really... I was like, wow, I really wish I smoked this.
Yeah, you know, there's people that have the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right. His is his own strain,
so...
Oh, he like, sweet.
I don't know how it works, but it's very scientific, I believe.
He just seems... And by the way, he seems like a guy who is very productive on weed. Like some people, they're burnouts. They're just worthless for the rest of the day. Wiz seems like a super functioning pot smoker. Like he still gets his stuff done, you know what
I mean? He definitely does. I'm like... I don't know. Like when I've smoked weed before, it's like I invent desserts to eat. That's as productive as I get.
That's the problem with weed, isn't it?
Was that fun? I mean, was it everything you thought it would be when you guys came up with the concept of going out together on this tour?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. I think it's cool when you're like 15 years into doing a band and you can still surprise yourself. You know, like it was interesting. We did a lot of collaborations. We did a remix of his. He did a remix of ours. And just hanging out with him was exciting because he was stoked in a completely different way, you know. And then it was interesting because after every show, there was like a crazy after party. And we're like all out there like as parents. And I'd be like, you know, like in the shower in our dressing room. And it's just like all bass and like Fetty Wap. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening?
How did that whole idea come about?
You know, when we're doing these amphitheater runs, we kind of look for someone who's similar to Fall Out Boy, like kindred spirits in a way. Because, like, I feel like we're a band that sometimes it's hard to kind of put in a category of where we fit in.
Yeah, you're
world.
Sort of your own category.
Yeah. And so we look for someone else who's like that. And we reached out to Wiz, and he was open to it. And then you never really know until you go on tour. You're like, whether you're going to get along, whether it's going to be a lot of egos, you know. Because some tours you go on, and they got to keep the dressing rooms far apart. And, you know, like, no one really interacts. But it was like... Right away, hanging out, you know, like I went into his room. His room is like a rock band from the 70s, you know, or 80s. Like it's like all black lights. It's like bandanas. There's this thing called a love sack in there. There's like a...
I'm sorry. Let's go back to the love sack.
The love sack, yes. The love sack is not... is not what people would think it is. It's actually from this like store in like the mall where they... And it's made out of like... what's it called? Memory foam or something. It's this giant ball. It's like, once you get on it, you will not get off of it. And I see it under a black light, so I know that it's been used as a love sack.
Okay, good.
But then there's this French bulldog in there named Vincent. It's just like it's very interesting. It's cool to see, like, I was like, gosh darn it, somebody's doing it right.
All right, so Fall Out Boy's done with the Boys of Summer Tour. Then you're playing some state fairs across the country, and then you head to Europe. Now, I noticed you're playing Russia. Have you guys done that before? Have you been to Russia?
We have. We've been to Russia three times now.
What is that like, and how available is Fall Out Boy music in places like Moscow and St. Petersburg?
Russia. So we went over one time and we played a private show for this billionaire that controlled all of the power in Russia, and that was an experience that was absolutely insane. We finished our set, and the guy was like, you're not done. And we were like, no, we don't have any more songs. And he's like, play Arms Race again. And we were like, oh, my God, this is like, this man has never heard
really?
No. You know, like, he was like, Estonia,
you felt like
Estonia with Russia. I turn off the power to Estonia. I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane. But honestly, when we go over there and play our own shows, the kids are really hungry, and they're, like, stoked, and they're stoked on Western culture, and they're stoked on the bands, and they're really free thinking. It's like no different than anywhere else. I don't know
do
how
they know the words. Probably not.
Do, but maybe they know it like phonetically. I'm not sure. A lot of the younger kids speak English pretty well over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting though. Like it's one of those places like where we land and there's 1,000 kids at the airport. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, this is what it would have been like to be Michael Jackson everywhere. You know?
And are you ever nervous just being on stage and just having Western thoughts and Western ideas, like what you can and can't say from the stage? Because, you know, there are people who go to Russia and don't come back. You know that, Pete.
Not to put anything in your head, but that can happen.
Yeah, I mean that
free pussy ride. I mean, come on.
I feel like that might have almost happened to me, but it was from, you know, drinking. I almost didn't come back from that.
Got it.
But no, because I think that as a band, like, we're respectful of other people's ideas and cultures. Like, I mean, I'm gonna be myself on stage, but I'm also like being the difference between 36 and 26 is like before you would go over there and you're like, I'm gonna stage dive and say like,
I'm gonna liberate
everybody.
This country,
you
man.
Know, like, and it's like you realize that you probably have more of an impact if you go in and you're respectful to people and that kind of thing. And so
yeah, you're there to rock, not to revolution.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. What right, about the voice of, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What about Europe? Are there some countries that are bigger fans of yours than others? You get great response some places and less response others?
Definitely. I mean, it's interesting because there's some places, like when we've been going to Germany for a long time, there's like people who are like, ah, Pete Wentz from One Tree Hill. And I'm like, oh my God. You know? So, because I did this like 3-episode arc on One Tree Hill, like, 12 years ago.
And that's what they know you
like,
from.
They'll bring the DVDs.
Dude, you're TV famous now.
Yeah, so that's interesting. No, but Europe has been super supportive of us, and especially like Radio 1 in the UK has been really, really, has really gotten behind us, so it's cool.
That's awesome. That's the voice of Pete Wentz here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Fall Out Boy is in the house. The rest of the guys are down the hall continuing to warm up. We saw a little bit of that earlier. How often do you guys play acoustic? Because I know you're going to be performing for us here in a couple minutes. Is this a frequent thing you do?
Often enough that people expect us to do it, and not often enough to really always pull off all the songs.
So you don't feel – you're right at the level where you don't feel quite comfortable.
Yeah,
yet.
Totally. All it's right. Like it's like when you're, you know, you're on the JV squad and you're, you know, you're starting in the big game, that kind of
gotcha.
Thing.
Gotcha. All right. Come for the interview. Stay for the musical train wreck. More with our guest Pete Wentz right after this on Fall Out Boy K-Rock. And we are back with our guest, Pete Wentz, from the band Fall Out Boy, here on the world-famous K-Rock Kevin and Bean Show. The guys are going to be performing live here in just a couple minutes down the hall at the Red Bull Sound Space. Let's talk about Fall Out Boy 2015. I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, Pete, this is your biggest year you guys have ever had as a band. I feel like you're everywhere and you're everything right now.
I think so. It's definitely like a different kind of big. You know, like I think that there was in 2005 or 2006, there was like this TRL thing, and it was big, but it was like it was like super specific, you know, like it's a super specific thing. And I think
a real narrow.
Yeah. You know, group? Like, yeah, group. And now it's
mainstream.
Yeah. It's a little bit more mainstream, it seems like.
And you guys are happy. And I mean, the reason I ask is because, you know, you took that time off and it seems like you guys came back and everything was better than ever. And it seems like it's been going strong now for a few years.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that you get some perspective, especially like, you know, like, I mean, I feel like life for everyone, but it's probably magnified a little bit if you're an entertainer, is a roller coaster. So you learn to appreciate the ups and kind of get through the downs, you know, or whatever. And I think that taking that time off, A, gave us some perspective about how lucky we are to do the thing that we get, you know, love to do with our friends. And then also you appreciate it a little bit more, I think.
It's a sort of a different world, too, in getting your music out there. And it seems like you've been really – was it – the Final Four or the NBA Finals? I can't remember. With Centuries?
Centuries was in college football.
College football. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of – I think that the interesting thing for being a rock band is, you know, people are like, you know, like rock music can't exist and isn't in the mainstream. And I'm like, it is, but we just have to find different ways to kind of like penetrate it and different ways to kind of infiltrate, you know, and whether that's sports have been really into some of our new music, and it's interesting because maybe one or two of us know anything about sports. I think that finding any way to infiltrate, or when we got to do work on this Disney movie, Big Hero 6, and it's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's stuff that we wouldn't have really thought of doing before, I think, maybe 10 years ago.
Is it depressing for you at all, Pete, like it is for us who are lifelong rock and roll fans, to look around and it's so hard to find rock? Yeah, you're right. It's still out there, but it's not on the radio and it's not on TV. There are guys like you are very few and far between right now. Does it bum you out? It does us. I mean, we feel like we're on an island over here looking at a big, big ocean of everybody. It's all Seacrest over there. Then we're just like hanging out over here and just trying to hang on.
No, I mean, I feel like it's interesting because obviously there's going to be – like it's all cyclical and like there is going to be something with guitars. I personally believe there'll be something with guitars. It just – I think that one of the things that us as rock bands have to do is think outside of the normal box of rock and roll a little bit and like – Whether that means like guys like Hozier, is that how you say his name?
Hozier, yeah.
Hozier, or something. Right. Like just like things that are interesting. It's like this guy's maybe like in a basement in the woods in Ireland and comes up with this song that's just, you know, everywhere. You
he
know,
puts whatever. It on SoundCloud. Yeah. One guy finds it and it's just
and it's everywhere. Yeah. You know, and I think if you write cool, good music, I think that there's room for that. I also think that you know, I got Trey Cool from Green Day came out to a show the other night, and it was so cool, man, because it's like we grew up on Green Day and then got to induct them into the Hall of Fame, but then to have them come out and like watch us was a really cool thing. And I think that finding other kindred spirits in the rock world and interacting with them, I think that there's room and supporting younger bands, you know, like I think that it's like the same thing as it's a similar thing as, you know, people are like, oh, why doesn't the MTV play videos? And it's like, because you don't want to, because you watch, all you watch is the, like, reality TV on MTV. So it's like, I think that if we want rock bands to do more stuff, we have to support rock young rock bands, you know, and really embolden them, you know?
Like you're doing with Wiz Khalifa.
I'm just kidding. Damn it.
Fallout Boy is
currently
here.
Giving them guitar lessons.
J-Rock, they're going to be performing live on the Kevin and Bean Show in just a couple minutes. Our final moments with Pete Wentz. I have to ask you about Uma Thurman because it's sure. A huge, huge record here on K-Rock. And it's so bizarre. Like, how do those things come together in a song? You know, like, how is the Munsters and how is Uma Thurman both in the same song? Take me back to when and how that came together and was written.
So the song, the track itself was written first. And we got a bunch of these together and we play them for our friends. And, like, that's kind of how we decide what stuff we're going to work on and what stuff we're not going to work on. Because I think putting time into every single stupid idea we have doesn't make sense. And this one's, like, was when we were playing it for people, we were like, this one's kind of pretty far afield, you know?
This is out there, but stick with us.
Yeah, yeah. So people would be like, oh, you guys are using the, like, Quentin Tarantino riff, you know, like when they heard the Munster sample. And we were like, oh, my God, like, that's what everybody keeps saying. And
but that's not what you intended at all.
That was not the original intention. But then it was like, why don't we somehow write about it? And originally it went into Pulp Fiction. But we actually wrote a lot – Uma Thurman much more towards Kill Bill Uma Thurman. And then sent it to Uma Thurman to be like, is it okay if we name the song this? Yeah, and that's kind of like, I guess, how it started. But it was – I mean, it's wild to think that it gets played on the radio because the beginning of the inception of the song is so strange.
Oh, it's insane, yeah. It really is. But it's great, and the video that you put out is great, and I know that there's a big push now for the MTV Video Music Awards and all that.
There is, yeah. I mean, I think that the VMAs is a place that has supported Fall Out Boy from the beginning and gave us, you know, attention long before we probably deserved any attention. that video was fun because this is what we do when Fall Out Boy makes videos. We're like, I think we I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this. I think we screw with our label a little bit sometimes because we'll just be like, can we get monkeys in a video? But like this one, it was like, what can we ask for? That's like
that they won't.
Right, yeah, that's right on the line. That like is, you know. And we were like, let's get a tank. So the video like was really based around getting a tank.
So you wanted to get a tank, and you decided to make the video that so you could get a tank.
Yes,
and then you run over a truck with it.
Yes.
If MTV and I don't think this is a category yet, but if they come up with a category of best music video featuring a zebra, I think you're in. I think
the
you win,
maybe.
Well, it's a great video and it's a
Thank
great
you.
Song, and we're hearing nothing but raves about Last Night at the Hollywood Bowl and the end of the Boys of Summer tour. But as you said, you got some fair tour shows still ahead, and then you're off to Europe, and then at some point you looking forward to taking some time off again.
Definitely, after I make that churro money, I'm taking the time off.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for stopping by here in the studio. We'll reunite you with your band down the hall and get a little live acoustic music here. As you said, it's 50-50 on how this is going to go off, but we'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Down the hall here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. Kevin, you are on stage with a bunch of acoustic guitars. What's going on?
Well, I think that I've joined the band.
Congratulations.
Thank
You're
you.
Going to be terrific with them.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Fall Out Boy.
Some legends are told, some tings and gods start and go. You will remember me. Remember me for centuries. Just wanna stay is all it will take. Go down in history. Remember me for centuries. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah.
just want to stay is all it will say. Go down in history. Remember me for centuries.
Space, and that's Fall Out Boy. How about that, people? Come on. There's like 30 people here, Bean.
This is awesome. Sounds great. Let's do some more from the guys.
We do want to say thank you to K-Rock. They've been there since the very beginning for our band, so it's cool to be here 10 years, 12 years later. Play a new song right now.
I can move mountains. I could work a miracle. Work a miracle. Cheap, you like, you know.
Men, nothing but death do us by.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman. Marry me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my. Walk a miracle. Oh, cheap, you like, you know.
Them nothing but them do us by.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman. Marry me till I confess. Oh, she wants to dance like
bye.
and fast. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman in a dream. Get you out of my head. I can move mountains. I could work your miracle. Work your miracle. Oh, keep you like you know. Them nothing but dare do us part. I can move mountains. I could work your miracle. Work your miracle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fall Out Boy at the Red Bull Sound Space.
Come on.
How about that?
Come on.
That was awesome.
Thank you, gentlemen. We had a great time. Thank you for coming to K-Rock.
Cold War Kids, it's K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And then, Bachelor in Paradise. Still awesome, Ralph?
Bip!
The Bip. Still awesome?
Of course it's still awesome. What's wrong with you?
I didn't know, man.
Oh, is water still wet?
Oh,
is the oxygen still breathable? Some things don't change.
Petros Papadakis joins us for the Bachelor in Paradise report. That's coming up just after 8. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
I want to give people a heads up. This Friday night at 10 p.m., once again, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose to bring you Hollywood Babble On.
No.
It is our very fun evening of celebrity talk and entertainment news and drunkenness and smoking pot. And It's a weird circus, is what it is, but we have a good time. Love to have you come out and join us on Friday night, 10 p.m. You can go to the improv.com to get more information and get your tickets. But
people who come, but they really...
No, no, and no. So you'll be there?
No, no, no.
Taylor Swift is just a nightmare.
She's the, well, dressed as a daydream.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Every guy she dates must be like, can you just leave me alone for 5 minutes? She's like, just sucks on you and just like a succubus, just drains all the life force from you, just drains all the energy until you're just a rotting shell, a carcass left by the roadside.
What's your evidence
psychic
for
vampire?
This? Horrendous allegation.
She's buying a castle in Scotland so she can be near Calvin Harris's family. Just leave me alone for a minute. It's like she did with Schwarzenegger. Remember, she bought a house in
wasn't it Rhode Island or somewhere?
Massachusetts, or someplace.
Nantucket.
Nantucket. Yeah, yeah, so
Martha's
she could
Vineyard.
Be near his yeah. family. Just leave. Just leave us alone.
I think. Look, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't even know if this story is true.
It is true. It's 100% true.
I just think that Taylor is so rich that she prefers to buy a house any place that she's going to be at least once a month. She owns her own property there.
No, she just has to suck the life out of her boyfriends and their families. She is buying a castle in Scotland to be near Calvin Harris's family. It will be an 8-bedroom, 7-bath castle with an 18-hole golf course, a heated swimming pool, tennis courts, and 40 acres of land.
What's that going to cost her?
$8 in Scotland.
How dare you.
It's like a pretty good deal.
Depressed economy there in Scotland. The property dates back to 1570. Oh, I hope it's haunted. I hope she wakes up in a pool of her own blood. I hope someone just rips her haggis out. Crushes her with a caber. Look up caber, boys and girls. It would be a much funnier joke if you knew what I was talking about right now. Scottish jokes.
She paid $17 million for that place on the beach in Rhode Island, and I think she only uses it for 4th of July parties.
Yeah. She's the worst.
She's the best. Although I did hear earlier today that she looks like a dumb cat.
She does look like a dumb cat.
I did hear a listener tell us that.
A shaved dumb cat. I'm very happy to announce that our buddy Adam Nimoy's documentary about his father, Leonard Nimoy, and the role of Mr. Spock for the love of Spock was the most funded documentary on Kickstarter.
Wow. That's great.
Until yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Then another documentary's campaign went over $680,000, and that
seven
was...
Sundays in May.
It wasn't seven Sundays.
Oh, no?
In May. It was... The documentary about Bill Nye the Science Guy. About Bill's effort to launch a solar-powered satellite into space. Which proves nerds hang out on Kickstarter. That much we know. One is Mr. Spock, the other one's Bill Nye the Science Guy. Two most successfully funded documentary campaigns in Kickstarter history. So
that is a surprise.
Yeah. Me too.
To me.
I don't think anyone cares about Bill Nye's solar-powered satellite. But I think people like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Right.
So they threw money at him. So we'll get to see that story. Fine.
Okay.
And Benedict Cumberbatch would like you to put your effing phones away. He is currently performing the role of Hamlet at the Barbican Theatre in London. And on Saturday night, Benedict had to break character and beg the audience to stop filming his to-be-or-not-to-be speech with their phones.
Turn your goddamn cell phones off.
Because the sea of red lights coming from the audience was so distracting, he couldn't go forward with the performance. One of the most difficult roles to play in the history of theater. The guy's trying to get through it, and all he looks at is seeing these red dots in the audience. Just everyone's got their phones out, filming him do Hamlet.
It's inexcusable.
Stop
it!
Really
is.
Why are people assholes? How can anyone think that that's okay? Anyway, he appeared outside the stage door after the performance. There were a bunch of fans waiting for autographs and stuff, and he went into a tirade regarding filming live performances, especially in an intimate theater setting. where he said, I can't give you what I want to give you, which is a live performance that you'll remember, hopefully, in your minds and brains, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, rather than on your phones. He said, if everyone is filming him. And he asked someone to record that message and put it on the internet so people would hear about it. So, I don't know. It's give or take. It's back and forth. It's yin and yang.
It really is an epidemic. I mean, it's you'd be hard-pressed to go to any kind of live event anymore, Ralph, and not see, maybe not a majority, but
it's a
large percentage of the audience watching the performance on their phone.
It's a majority. It's a plague. It's an epidemic. And I understand some moments you want to record. Your kid's dance recital, you know, your friends playing softball. I understand you want to take some things and film them or take pictures of them, but not every experience has to be captured electronically. Can't you just go and just live something, just live a moment? I'm talking to you!
Yes.
No, if it wasn't a rhetorical question, then yes, I will answer and I agree. Okay. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was watching the president at some event. And he's looking out at a sea of telephones instead of a sea of people who are listening to what he's saying. He's looking at people filming him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that just seems disrespectful to hold your phone up between your face and the president's if he's talking to you.
People forget that there are other people on the other side of the phone now. That's the phenomenon. That's the result of it. If you're filming Benedict Cumberbatch trying to get through one of the most difficult pieces of theater an actor can tackle, you're disassociating the fact that that's a human being trying to do something right there on the other side of that phone. Because you put that phone between you and him, so now he becomes some object for you to photograph.
Yeah, he becomes what's in the camera instead of a human.
It's just weird how people disassociate from humanity once they get those cameras in their hands.
Can you look over here while you're saying that? Because I'm trying to get to my phone.
Zing! Today's celebrity birthdays. Hulk Hogan is 62 years old today. Hulkster, how's it feel to be 62 today?
There aren't any black people on this list, are there, brother?
Wow.
Man, Hulkster. Suck it, Bean. Suck it.
Matter of fact, Viola Davis celebrates her 50th birthday today.
Hulk, I don't like it, brother.
Joe Rogan's 48 years old. Anna Gunn celebrates her 47th birthday. Chris Hemsworth, he's 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here it is. It's time, the crown jewel of every Tuesday morning's Kevin and Bean show. It's time for the Bachelor in Paradise Report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice, it's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Bean make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, because all these people are so dumb. So Ralph, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill? The Bachelor in Paradise.
Thank you, Sebastian the Crab.
Who was that? Who is he doing there?
The Little Mermaid.
This is Sebastian the Crab.
Unbelievable. Hey, Pete.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
P squared. How great is Bachelor in Paradise?
Dude, it's a marathon, though, Ralph. I mean, we're talking... We got 4 hours to deal with here. And
not
I don't
enough.
Know where to start because it's jam packed with drama.
I'm with you. Obviously, we found out last night and also Sunday night as well that Jared is just the most wanted man on.
But why? He looks like a ferret.
He does look like a ferret with a bad beard.
Yeah,
with a patchy beard.
His beard is only the outline of a beard. There's no middle part to the beard, and yet he insists on growing a beard. I have one of those patchy beards, and I'd just be shaving.
Ashley I wants to be with him. Claire was on a date with him last night. I love the way last night's episode kicked off by showing us the ugly side of paradise with Mikey, the fender head bodybuilder, lying in bed in his underwear with a fan on him, and Ashley I icing down her cystic acne. I don't know if we really need that on a show or not.
But that's how it goes down. And I like that bikini-style underwear on that 5'5" bodybuilder, Mikey. And I think he was farting up a storm, too.
I think so, too. So Jared and Claire go on their special one-on-one date, which involves bungee jumping over the ocean, P. And Claire was terrified. Terrified to do it.
Now, Claire is the girl who had sex with Juan Pablo in the ocean in Vietnam.
Right.
And she loves the comfort of a man, and she's very, very dramatic. And I don't know if it's one ear or both ears, Ralph, But she's got a couple of those old 1980s-style satellites on the side of her head, man.
She does have some giant
no
ears.
Hearing. She can hear everything. She can hear us right now.
Now, let me ask you this, Rob. Is Claire the one who's been all the chatter online about how she's being age-shamed for being so out of the demo?
Yes. Well, no. There's two old chicks.
There's several women who are in their very early 30s.
Oh, jeez.
Not for this show, though, right?
It's almost like they got Jesse Tandy on the show or something, you know?
And all the younger girls are calling these women old ladies. Oh, it's not the public that's shaming them. It's the 20-something-year-old girls on the show who are calling them old ladies, which is just creepy beyond
creepy.
Well,
they're menopausal, you know? They're very emotional. They get hot flashes. I mean, that's you know, it happens around 30, right?
Nope. Yeah, don't ask Donald Trump what he thinks of them.
As P mentioned, Claire does like the comfort of a man. Here's some audio of her bungee jumping, but if you didn't know she was bungee jumping, you would absolutely think something else was going on with her and Jared.
Oh, my God, I cannot believe I just did that.
I got you.
I truly couldn't have done it if it wasn't for Jared. It's been a long time since I have had the comfort of a man.
You okay?
My body was shaking. Okay.
Yeah, it felt good.
I got a bungee jump.
Well, you got to remember that when after she had sex, or presumably had sex, with Juan Pablo in the ocean in Vietnam, she compared herself to a just-born deer.
That's right.
Barely walk.
That's right. Her legs were so wobbly, she was like a newly born deer.
So this was a little bit similar to that, in that, you know, she just loves those experiences with men and over the sea.
Now, Ashley she was the one who was icing down her cystic acne on the show. She has a huge crush on Jared, and she was upset that an old lady like Claire was pursuing him. Here was Ashley's take.
I never like anyone, and then when I do, it's like I always competing with another girl.
Yeah. I wonder how you could avoid competing with another girl for a man.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. Anywhere you go, there's people after the men you want, especially when there's cameras and mics and mic assist guys and sound assist guys and a craft service table and punk-ass Chris Harrison trying to sell his book in the intro.
Maybe avoid dating competition shows if you don't want to compete for other people with your man.
Hey, this might be a great time for me to jump in, P, and let you know that we just heard from Mr. Chris Tiny Hands Harrison himself. He is listening to and enjoying the segment right now, so keep those remarks coming.
Oh, yeah, I will.
If he's listening, hey, Chris Harrison, how the hell do I get on After Paradise, for God's sakes?
Oh, the talk show?
Yes, the show after Bachelor in Paradise on Monday nights. They have now After Paradise.
Oh, where they talk about what happened?
Which is an hour-long deconstruction of what we've seen so far over the weekend.
Show was made for you.
Hands are so small that he texted you guys on one of those really little old Blackberries where you have to push, like, the letter a couple times because there's three letters per button.
Stop it.
It's not clear to me if that's the case.
Well, there was a new addition. There was a new addition last night to the men. Out of nowhere, Michael G. shows up. And he's got his eyes strictly for one lady on the island. Tenley has become what Jared is to the ladies. Tenley is to the gentlemen. She is wanted. She is wanted by Michael. She's wanted by Joshua. She is wanted.
And do you remember this guy, Ralph? I feel like he went to, like, superhero bizarro weightlifting school before
yes.
he showed. I mean, all these
he's
people
much
do
bigger.
Steroids. They go Barry Bonds, like, before they go on The Bachelor. And I'd work out, you know, if I got on the show. I'd want to lose a little bit of weight. But these people are coming in like they're in a bodybuilding competition, like they're hanging out in Venice. It's like Lee Haney over there.
Lee Haney. Michael is yoked. He's the diabetic lawyer who is yoked. And I'm pretty sure he's gay. But all I know is that he has his eye on Tenley so much so that here was his intro to the island.
Her name is Tenley, but to me, she's an 11-ly.
Boom!
Oh, drop the mic.
Boom!
Strong.
Her name is Tenley. To me, she's an 11-ly.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
I don't think a straight guy would ever say that.
And also, we had, of course, last night was the evil Kentucky genius that is Joe. He was the real engine behind last night's episode.
He was never that bad on The Bachelor.
No, he was kind of a sweet guy, everyone thought.
Yeah, he was kind of like a Cro-Magnon guy with this forehead of granite, and now all of a sudden he's just like the most diabolical person that ever. He's conspiring with producers and being super creepy and taking advantage of a baby mom, you know?
Yes.
Somebody's baby mama, he's sitting there and making her feel all good and Oh, man, it was ugly.
Joe and his eight head did have one thing in mind, which was to stay on the show long enough just to meet Samantha. And if that meant lying to a single mom, Julia, to stay on there, to get a rose, to stay on Bachelor in Paradise, that's what he was going to do. However, Jonathan, our token African-American contestant, and Mikey, the fender-headed bodybuilder, they decided that they cared so much about Julia, they were going to go to her and tell her.
Yeah, because they'd known her for at least like 3-4 days.
Right, there's some deep history there to tell her that Joe's feelings aren't for real. But once Joe catches wind of that, man, he starts threatening all kinds of violence.
I'm pissed. And Jonathan, now we break his jaw and beat the pulp out of his brain, swear to God. I won't stop until his brains are coming out of his ears. I swear to you, I'm mad.
Mikey T,
if we were in Kentucky right now, I got a pair of brass knuckles. I put my brass knuckles on my right hand. I would walk up to Mikey T and just knock him out.
I feel like you and I need to have a talk because I feel like there's some tension between us.
I feel like there's some tension between us because you just threatened to ambush me with brass knuckles.
And knock the brains out of my head.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a producer saying to that guy after he's saying that? Like, and what would you do with the brains then, Joe?
I'd slip him some brass knuckles. I know that much.
I mean, my God. And I've never, I mean, there's been evil people on these shows, but this guy came in just truly evil. And but, it's great.
But does anything bad enough on this show ever happen to get to the level of Murder Button, though?
Did
you guys
hear the music?
Yeah, that was pretty sinister.
That was kind of sinister, yeah.
Look, I think there's going to be a physical altercation at some point. I think something's a brewing.
Well, first of all these guys are juiced up and have been working out 8 hours a day for months just before they come here. They're all testosteroned up, and now they're chasing. At least there's more than one chick.
Yes.
You know? There's a bunch of girls running around, and they're making idiots out of themselves, too. This is a brilliant concept. You got to give it to old baby hands.
But Joe the Cro-Magnon is able to convince Jonathan that he was wrong to go to Julia and to say that about him. And he makes him go and apologize in front of Julia and say that he was wrong.
Even though he wasn't wrong.
Right. That was diabolical.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. This guy takes it to the limit. And this guy, Jonathan... I just get people get emotional on these shows. I don't know why he got so freaked out.
Well, it's hot and they're tired and they're drunk, and I think Jonathan felt so bad. This guy starts to cry on television, saying, "I'm sorry, I betrayed my friend Joe. He's a good guy, and I was wrong." And he starts to cry. This guy Joe lets him do it, and then after the guy's done crying, here's what Joe has to say:
"Made Mikey T my bitch. Jonathan came to me like I was his pimp. You know, I mean, I do what I do."
I do what I do. I do what I do. All right. That's all. I do what I do. I get my brass knuckles and I hit people and I do what I do.
I mean, the guy was sitting there crying like inconsolably crying. Not like a couple tears like the Indian guy that saw the littering. I mean, we're talking about just full-on bawling and convulsing, which also seemed weird, and hot, tired, and drunk is not a good enough excuse. That's like every wedding reception I've ever been to.
All right, we're almost out of time, Ralph. Final thoughts.
Well, final thought is Claire, as we mentioned earlier, she was the one who was moaning with Jared on the bungee jump. Jared had said to her after that, "I'm really not that into you. Cut her loose." Now, nobody on the island likes Claire. This is Claire's, like, third go-around on Bachelor in Paradise. Aww. And once already on The Bachelor. She has been rejected.
Don't feel bad for her because she's old. I mean, you know, Helen Mirren gets guys.
That's right. Claire's been roundly rejected just across the board, and she's had enough of it. She goes out of nowhere, goes off on everyone on the show before they get to the rose ceremony, literally just sandbags everybody. They don't see this coming at all, and she has this amazing speech.
I didn't come here to play games. I didn't come here for campaigning. I didn't come here to plot, to try to strategize about anything. And it's really, seriously, a lot different from last year. Because there wasn't that last year. People were there to find love. And people were there for that connection.
What is she talking about?
That's a good question, lady.
What is she
good
talking about? Said cystic acne. So Now we're in a bit of a cliffhanger because Claire now is threatening to walk off the show because
like she did last year.
Because nobody likes her.
In the same jungle by herself. You missed the conversation she had with a raccoon.
That's right, yes.
About her competition with that girl, Ashley. She did. She literally had about a 7-minute conversation with a raccoon.
Yeah.
And I wish I was kidding about this. Who was drinking a bottle of wine at the time?
The raccoon?
There was a raccoon who was actually drinking a bottle of wine while she
was talking to him. Everything.
What is happening?
And it's always
to keep track of, guys. If it feels like it's all over the place, it's because it is.
And it's beautiful, though. I mean, it's the only show that I watch 3 hours a week that I wish there was more of. Because there's stuff I know I'm missing, and it's just making me crazy.
Well, you're lobbying for the after show, Ralph. I'll watch it if you're on it.
I'm doing After Bachelor. I don't know what it takes to do After Bachelor in Paradise, but I'm doing it, and I'm going to tell the truth.
Got to go over to Harrison's house and lift some stuff up for it.
The Bachelor in Paradise airs Sunday and Monday nights at 8 on ABC. Our friend Petros Papadakis will be heard this afternoon along with Matt Money Smith at AM 570 LA Sports. This has been the Bachelor in Paradise Report.
The Bachelor.
By the way, speaking of that skateboard film, We Are Blood, Paul Rodriguez Jr., P-Rod himself, joins us in studio tomorrow morning right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. Time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
I believe I'm going to lodge another protest about the sound bites that were selected for that intro for Me Makes His Guess.
Lodge
not
away.
Sure what it has to do with us.
Rejected.
But. Hey, Ralph Garman, have you ever not won Me Makes His Guess?
Yes.
You're pretty darn good at guessing games.
Several times.
And I think you've got an advantage on this one. But it's going to be you versus the lovely Ally McKay, and Chip is going to be playing today with us as well.
I shouldn't even show up.
Here's the category, and I think everyone's got an equal chance at this, but Ralph is just super good at games like this. The greatest actors who have never won an Oscar for acting. That is the category. These are guys that you look at every time they're in a movie. You go, God damn, that guy's so talented. How has he never won an Oscar? But obviously, you know, every year there's 10 actors nominated, only 2 win Oscars. So there's a lot of people out there who throughout the years have not won Oscars. So that's the category. We're going to try to fill in the top 10. You get a point every time you guess one inside the top 10. Again, the greatest actors who have never won an Oscar for acting. So Ralph Garman, we're going to give you first guess, please.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio is number 2 on the list, according to Ranker.com. Of course, he has been nominated before for movies The Aviator, has never won. He certainly will win one
eventually
day, I think.
Eventually he will, yes.
So, yes, a point. You are on the board. Ralph Garman. Allie.
See, I don't know who's won and who hasn't. So
that
this
would be
is
a problem
hard.
For this particular
yeah.
game. Which
yeah,
puts
it
you
would,
at a disadvantage.
Ralph, it
who has won and who hasn't
it
won
would be
Oscars.
Hard. So I will say someone who definitely should, even if he hasn't, has. Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, great guest, number 6 on the list, Ally McKay. Outstanding.
Go.
He was nominated Best Actor for Schindler's List and has been in lots of other great movies, has still never won an Oscar. 1-1. Chip, you're up.
Jimmy Fallon.
Stop
it.
Good. Play the game or don't play the game.
Come on. Sitting in for Kevin is Chip.
Come over there.
I'm sorry. We're going to give you another shot. Jimmy Fallon is not on the list.
Has Harrison Ford won one?
Harrison Ford is number 9 on the list, according to Ranker.com, of great actors who have not won an Oscar as an actor. He was nominated for Witness, of course, but did not win. All right. So tie game all around. Good stuff, you guys.
I'm trying to remember. I think the late, great Peter O'Toole has never won an Oscar.
Peter O'Toole is another great guess. I'm sorry. He is not in the top 10, however.
Is it only alive actors? Or?
No, there's both on the list, but everybody in the top 10 is alive.
Okay.
I did see. I thought I saw Peter O'Toole way down on the list, but not anywhere near the top 10. Yeah, that's a great hint, though. Everybody is alive in the top 10.
Okay, would have been useful before I guessed Peter O'Toole.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine has won an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
He should. He should win more.
For Educating Rita, I think he won.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Chip.
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen is number 5. Chip.
Wow.
Well done. Chip. He was nominated for Best Actor for Gods and Monsters. Has not won. All right, so Chip is in the lead. It is 2-1-1. Ralph, you're up.
Cate Blanchett?
I'm sorry. I think we're looking for just actors.
Oh,
she's
okay.
She's a woman.
It's a tough one. A lot of great actors out there.
Yeah, everybody I can think of has already won an Oscar.
Somebody's screaming at the radio right now.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is not in the top 10, I'm sorry to say. But you're right, he has won an Oscar for as a writer, but he did not make the top 10 on this list. He was down at number 30.
All right, this is one of my favorites, and I think he might have won an Oscar, but Colin Firth?
Colin Firth has won an Oscar.
Okay, then I'm going to go Johnny Depp.
I'm going to give you Johnny Depp because he is number 3 on this list. How about that?
So we can just keep saying names until we get one that's on the list? Is that how the game's played now?
Yeah.
Fine.
So I should have accepted Colin Firth only? Is that what you're suggesting?
If the answer was incorrect and that was the answer that she gave, that's what I would have done.
I feel like Ali's at a disadvantage for not knowing who's won Academy Awards.
If I was playing a game that had rules, then that's what I would have done.
Johnny Depp was nominated for Finding Neverland. All right, we got time to go around just one more time. It's 2-2-1. Chip, you're up
next. I won't be guessing Johnny Depp, which was what I was going to guess, I guess. I won't do that.
J.B. Smoove.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Good guess. J.B. Smoove is not correct.
What about George Clooney?
Clooney has won an Oscar, so not so much for you.
For acting?
He won for what? Syriana, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, Ralph, your final guess.
Alan Arkin.
You could tie this whole thing up. Alan Arkin, I'm so sorry to say, is not in the top 10.
I feel like you can have another guess.
Apparently, those are the rules. You can just keep going. Carrot Top.
Sorry. You want one more real guess?
No. Go ahead.
All right.
Has Ben Affleck won for acting?
He has not.
Should
not
he?
On the list.
He's not on the list?
All right. Let's fill in the rest of the top 10. Here's the guesses you guys did not name. Nominated for, among other things, Moneyball and 12 Monkeys, Brad Pitt comes in at number 10 on the list of actors who have not yet won actors. Harrison Ford was number 9. Robert Downey Jr. at number 8. One of our great actors, of course, was nominated for Chaplin and Tropic Thunder. Has never won. Ralph Fiennes at number 7. Nominated for Schindler's List, of course, and The English Patient. Has not won. Liam Neeson at number 6. Ian McKellen at number 5. Edward Norton at number 4. Has been nominated for American History X. Also Primal Fear. Has never won. Ali, your friend Johnny Depp at number 3, then Leonardo DiCaprio. No one, I'm very surprised no one came up with number 1. One of the greatest actors in the world. He's been nominated.
Danny DeVito.
He was nominated for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, but did not win. The great Gary Oldman is at number 1 on this list of the best actors who have never won an Oscar for acting. This has been B-Mixo's Guess.
B-Mixo's Guess, yeah.
Earlier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the band Fall Out Boy stopped by to play a few acoustic numbers in the Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock. We're going to have that video of those performances up later on today at krock.com. And the next performer up is going to be that man right there, George Ezra, doing Budapest and other songs this Thursday at 1 o'clock. You can watch it live at krock.com. Or if you want to be there in person, if you want to get up close and personal, watch George Ezra sing, call now, 1-800-520-1067. Win your way into the Red Bull sound space. Ali, I'm one of those people who, and you've heard me talk about this before, plans on living to be 100. That's my goal, I want to be 100 years old.
Adorable.
And, of course, the key there is you want to have good health. And I'm always inspired when I see a story like this one on the news this week from Fox News. They talk about Agnes Fenton, who this Saturday turned 110. You don't see too many. And, of course, every time you do see an interview with somebody who's that old, they ask, what's the secret to life? And she said that, well, for 70 years, every day, she drank 3 Miller High Lifes and a shot of Johnny Walker Blue Label Scotch.
Every day
for 70 years.
Wow.
But at 105, 5 years ago, she decided to stop drinking.
Yeah.
Started toning it down a little bit.
Well, she was
partying. You don't want to push it.
Yeah.
She was overdoing it. So at 105, don't you? If I'm 105, I go, well, whatever I'm doing is working because I'm 105. But she said, well, maybe it's time to start thinking about my health and my old age. So I'm going to start decreasing my alcohol intake upon the advice of her doctors, apparently. So we wanted to find out more about that and how she's doing today, a few days past turning 110. And we have Agnes Fenton on the line with us right now from somewhere in New Jersey, I think. Miss Fenton, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound good, Agnes.
Oh, good.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're on radio.
I ain't radio.
Mm-hmm. You probably remember when radio started.
I I boned Marconi.
Wow, you were quite the party girl, Agnes.
I called him Marboni.
So, a lot of people have been focusing on the alcohol aspect of this article about the drink. Can you tell us more about the drinking that you used to do, Agnes?
I would drink 3 Miller High Lifes a day and a shot of Johnny Walker Blue.
Okay.
And yeah, I heard you talking, and you said that I stopped drinking.
Right, that was my understanding. It was 5 years ago you decided after 70 years of drinking that you would stop drinking.
5 years ago they stopped giving me my alcohol.
Oh, they stopped providing? Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, the people here at the home said that it probably wasn't good for me to have it anymore.
Okay, I'm surprised by that because obviously it had worked for you for so long.
Well, that's why I sneak it in now.
Ah.
Okay, all right. Oh, you got some alcohol right there.
You are chugging.
Cheers, mother effers.
Feels good, right?
Oh, that's tasty right there.
Now, Agnes, you're...
Hold on a second.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that. Well, I don't know. That sounds dangerous at 110 to be messing around with the hard stuff, Agnes.
Well, here's the thing.
Yep.
Go F yourself.
Why would you say something like that? We're just trying to have a nice interview.
I'm 110, and I can do whatever the hell I want.
Well,
okay?
That's probably true. Jeez.
Is that a bong, Agnes? It's a bong.
Oh, that is some kind bud. Get my nitrous tank.
Okay, you don't need to do nitrous on top of cocaine, on top of pot. And whippets, come on.
Hold on a second.
Agnes, you're going to give yourself a heart attack. What's this?
Is that a frog?
I'm just licking a toad.
Licking a frog.
Okay.
Licking a psychedelic toad.
You don't have to do everything that everybody does.
Oh, that's some good. Oh, I'm tripping balls.
Aren't you worried about giving yourself a heart attack?
No, I'm worried about...
Oh, Agnes. I can't. That's unfortunate. Nobody needs... All right, Agnes, we're going to let you go. It sounds like we caught you at a bad time. Can we just say goodbye, Agnes? Okay.
My colon's on the floor.
After the show today, Ralph, are you swinging by the brand new Dunkin' Donuts location practically around the corner from the radio station?
I did not even know of this fact, sir.
13300 Washington Boulevard, Culver City, Dunkin' Donuts has just opened up in our neighborhood.
Wow.
Is that a big deal for you as an East Coast guy? Was Dunkin' Donuts the thing?
Loved me some DD, yes.
Because it does seem to be one of those things that people who travel, like our own Kat Corbett, when she travels and she's in a city with the Dunkin' Donuts, it's like her first stop. She can't. What's awesome about Dunkin' Donuts?
It's just that they're the best. They're just the best donuts. I mean, I know people love the Krispy Kremes and all, but I was raised on Dunkin' Donuts, and I just there's something unique about that flavor of those donuts that I love, and also the coffee is amazing.
Right. All right, Allie, you concur?
I concur, and I love a culotta during the summer.
Oh, a culotta, right? Oh, right there. Put it right there in your culottes. Put a culotta in your culottes. That was their statement.
I don't know if that was their advertising campaign.
Stick a culotta up your culottes.
Nope.
That sounds like a chilled beverage, so I do not approve. But anyway, big news, Dunkin' Donuts, a new location in the L.A. area on Washington Boulevard in Culver City if you want to check it out. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
I want to give you tickets. After the showbiz beat, stick around because we have tickets to the premiere of American Ultra. We are going to be giving those away in a game after the showbiz beat. So if you are a fan of Jesse Eisenberg, who of course stars in American Ultra along with Kristen Stewart, if you're a fan of his, then why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to be playing a game for American Ultra tickets. We have premiere tickets. It's happening at the Ace Hotel on the 18th of August. The movies and theaters everywhere on the 21st. But if you'd like to play the game to win your premiere tickets for American Ultra, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. After the top of the hour, we'll be playing a game to get those tickets.
Looks good.
It does look good. Story of a sleeper agent for the CIA, who doesn't even know he's a CIA agent. He thinks he's a stoner convenience clerk. He thinks he's a Kevin Smith character. And the next thing you know, boom, they activate him, and he starts kicking ass and taking names.
I like it.
Because he's only there for two things, chew bubblegum and kick ass. He's all out of bubblegum. Rest in peace, Rowdy. Miley Cyrus thinks Taylor Swift is dangerous, and I agree. She needs to be taken out. Drone strike, I think, would be the best way to go.
Let's not.
She's got that army of jackbooted thugs around her all the time, so you couldn't do a ground assault, but you could get her from the air.
The one thing I know about Ralph Garman is he always cares very deeply what Miley Cyrus thinks.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm.
Uh-huh.
And Miley says in Marie Claire magazine that, Taylor Swift gets, so much love. I don't get the violence revenge thing in her Bad Blood video, Miley says. That's supposed to be a good example. And I'm a bad role model because I'm running around with my T's out.
Well,
I'm not sure how
that either, but
T's are worse than guns. They're not, Miley. Even your little T's are better than guns. Guns are bad, and so is Taylor Swift. And I think now it's science, because Professor Miley Cyrus has chimed in.
Now, is this going to be awkward with Miley hosting the MTV Video Music Awards and Taylor Swift almost certainly being there to
perform?
It's going
to be totes awky. Oh. OMG. It'll be on fleek, though, to watch, won't it?
That's what I've heard.
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay
Lohan.
Yeah.
She's tried everything from modeling to live theater to music to get back on the D-list. But she has a new plan of attack. A drone strike on Taylor Swift. No, that's my plan. Sorry. Her plan is a tell-all autobiography.
Ooh.
About her parents, her work, her love, her drugs, her love of drugs, the drugs she used to get love, the love she used to get drugs, and everything else that she's come across. The 29-year-old actress. She's a mere 29 years old.
Wow.
What a life she's
led.
Life.
Yep. She has tons of secrets on some of Hollywood's biggest power players and apparently is going to start naming names and telling stories. I'm in. Oof. I am in. Each copy of the book apparently will come with a dose of penicillin, which I think is a great idea because even if you read one of her books, you could catch something.
That's alleged.
Alleged. Today's celebrity birthdays. Asher Roth, the rapper, is 30 years old today. Chris Hemsworth is 32. Anna Gunn is 47. Joe Rogan turns 48 years old today. Actress Viola Davis turns 50. And the wrestler, the legend, WWE fame, not anymore, Hulk Hogan, who famously, of course, unceremoniously was ditched by the WWE after some unfortunate statements on his part, reached the light of day. He is 62 years old today. Hulkster, what are you doing without wrestling these days? How do you fill your time?
You got to be cool and eat fruit.
Does not address my question at all. not the best. But, all right, the next break's going to be better. Come play our game, won't you? If you want to win tickets to the American Ultra Premiere starring Jesse Eisenberg, fans of Jesse's work, call in now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be back with that game. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. As promised, tickets to the premiere of American Ultra, August 18th at the Ace Hotel with the stars, including Kristen Stewart and Topher Grace and Jesse Eisenberg. If you're a fan of Jesse Eisenberg, then you're going to love this game that we call Jesse's Films.
And all these titles, they are Jesse's Films. How well do you know Jesse's Films? I want to watch a movie like that.
Jesse's Films. Jesse Eisenberg, of course, going to be Lex Luthor in the upcoming Batman v Superman. But in this film, in American Ultra, he plays a government agent who doesn't know he's a government agent. He's a stoner who is a secret agent, and then he gets activated by the government, and he becomes a liability, and he is targeted for extermination, but he starts to take on the CIA. Looks awesome.
Imagine how surprised you would be if all of a sudden you woke up after a slacker life, and now you've got to work.
That would be a surprise.
Pain in the butt. All right, the lines are filled. Ralph, what are they going to be looking for here?
We will play you a clip from a Jesse Eisenberg movie, and all we ask that you do is identify the movie that we're playing you the clip from.
Very simple.
All right, let's start with line one. Our man Diego is going to get us started. He's in Los Angeles. Hey, Diego, welcome to Jesse's Films. How are you, sir?
What's up? I love you guys.
We love
you,
too.
You're very kind to say that. All right, so again, it's a Jesse Eisenberg movie we're looking for the name of.
When the virus struck, for obvious reasons, the first ones to go were the fatties. Poor fat bastard.
Poor fat bastard. What movie's that, Diego?
Zombieland.
Well done.
I love you.
I love you, Diego.
You won your ticket. You're going to go see the premiere of American Ultra.
Yes.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. Thanks for playing.
All right. Who's next, Ralph?
Next up is Lee from West Los Angeles. Lee?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. We're going to play a clip from a Jesse Eisenberg film. You just have to identify it, okay?
You got it.
Here you go.
And at no time will you be anywhere other than exactly where I want you to be. So come close. Get all over me, because the closer you think you are, the less you'll actually see.
I'm going to nail you.
Boom!
Now you see me?
Now you see me. Well done. You are in.
That was a good movie, by the way.
I loved that
film. It was a good movie.
Super good movie. All right, two for two so far. Who's up next?
Chris from Los Alamitos. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, sir.
Hello.
We're going to play you a clip from a Jesse Eisenberg film. You ready?
Yep.
All right, here you go.
Did you actually think we were going to kiss?
No.
We just met. Oh, my.
I think they need a little help. I mean, I know how my feathers look, but I'm not that kind of bird.
Adventureland?
Sorry. That's Rio, the animated film Rio.
Oh, my God. My kid watches that 10 times a day. What an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, it's okay.
The feathers might have been a giveaway there.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of bird we thought might have been a hit. But okay.
Yeah,
nice try anyway.
All right,
Chris. Hang up now.
Hang up on yourself.
Chris is hanging up on himself.
Good man.
That's sad.
Ralph is next. He's from Garden Grove. Ralph, good morning.
Good morning.
Sir, we're going to play a clip from a Jesse Eisenberg film. You need to identify it for us, okay?
All right.
Here you go.
Is that thing real? You guys did this to me, and if I don't rob that bank in time, this thing is going to blow. And your first thought was to come to a school filled with young children?
Another good movie from Jesse Eisenberg, by the way.
Yeah.
30 minutes or less?
Yes.
Yes. Well done. You are good.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to go see the premiere of American Ultra. Congratulations.
All right. That's three down. We got two more pairs of tickets. Who's next?
Up next is Danny in Beverly Hills.
Hey, party people.
Good morning, Danny. You ready for your clip?
I am.
Here's your Jesse's film.
I'm not talking about a dating site. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
The Social Network.
Boom.
Look at that.
Slam dunk. Well done, Danny. You're going to go see the premiere. We got one pair of tickets left. Is that weird?
Yep.
One pair left. And we've got Michelle, our first female contestant up. Michelle from Culver City. Good morning,
hey,
Michelle.
How are you doing?
Good. I hear you just moved to California. Is that true?
Yeah, I did. It's been great so far.
From where?
Well, I'm from Ohio, but I graduated from school in New York.
Wow. Welcome.
Everywhere. How'd you choose Los Angeles?
I'm living with family right now, so that was a good choice.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you, and we really appreciate you listening. Listen up. Here's your Jesse Eisenberg movie.
This is James, and he's playing for a games job.
Games? Oh, great. Good. Let's get you set up.
Actually, Bobby, I prefer a rides job if it's still open.
You look more like a games guy, plus I already got out the games application.
Got out the games application.
Hey, is that Adventureland?
It is Adventureland. Look at that, by the way. Michelle's been in town a month. She's already going to a red carpet Hollywood premiere with movie stars.
Wow. You know, if you have a morally casual attitude, you might be able to become somebody's mistress.
I'm telling you,
that's how you get ahead in this town. Don't scoff, Michelle. Just sleep your way to the top. That's what I did.
That's how Ralph got this job.
That's right.
Have fun at the premiere of American Ultra, August 18th at the Ace Hotel. Everybody else, go see the film in theaters August 21st. This has been Jesse's Films.
And all these titles, they are Jesse's Films.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Right.
Rodney on the Rock here. Nope. And you just heard something again, brand new, from Pandora's. Doing Hot Generation.
That's not
they're playing around town.
That's not what we played.
I don't know, not around L.A., but other parts of L.A., because it's hard to get gigs in L.A.
Is it?
For some odd reason. Because there's no more clubs left, because they're tearing them all down and putting hotels up.
That's sad.
So tourists can come to town and look at each other at hotels rather than checking out all these clubs. Anyway, I'll be back. More music coming up. Here are the Monkees.
Actually, we don't have time for the Monkees. I'm sorry. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, though.
I insist now we play some freaking Monkees.
Yeah.
Here we come.
Walking down the street.
Roddy's very upset by the lack of hotels. Live venues in Southern California.
Clubs are just looking at each other in hotels.
Right?
Remember a movie called Going in Style?
No.
It's an old film from the 70s about three senior citizens who are just bored and old and just saddened about their lives, and they decide they're going to do something about it. They are going to plan a bank robbery.
Okay.
They're going to knock over a bank to cope with their boredom. The movie originally starred George Burns and Art Carney and Lee Strasberg. It was a fun little film in the 70s, and they're going to remake it now with this cast, which I'm already in. I need to see this film. The three old men in the movie now will be Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, and Alan Arkin.
Wow.
Come
one movie?
On. Those three together?
Yeah.
Are you really applauding?
I love Michael Caine so much.
He is pretty awesome. He was great in Kingsman. Alan Arkin, also one of my favorites, and Morgan Freeman, can't go wrong. But Morgan Freeman, all he does now is play bored old dudes who do exciting things.
Like in Las Vegas.
Right?
Yeah, Las Vegas. They all got together for the bachelor party for Michael Douglas, and now he's going to knock over a bank with Michael Caine and Alan Arkin. Michael Caine, by the way. Italian Job, speaking of caper movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right. Classic.
I wonder if they're going to have any go-go dancers.
You blew the damn doors off! Love that film. They are making a miniseries which will feature the story of, the origin of, and the success of...
Cocoon.
Not Cocoon, no. New Edition.
Oh.
The behind-the-scenes story of New Edition.
Okay.
I'm interested.
Me
really?
Too.
And I know Allie is, because it's all Boston, but yeah, I'm in.
Let's do it.
I love that band.
Really?
Yeah.
New Edition?
They were the basically the
start of I just said New Edition.
Those...
I was the one who said it earlier at
did?
The beginning
You're
of the story,
one...
yes.
Oh, you brought it to us.
I did.
They were the reason for such amazing artists as NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys.
So they're to blame, is what you're saying.
Well, you could look at it that way.
That's what I. That's how I look at it.
Candy Girl? Mr. Telephone Man?
Oh, those were all great.
Come on.
Those were all great songs.
Right?
Guys all started in the Orchard Park projects in Boston. Mm-hmm. And, of course, went on to superstardom and extensive drug use. So, Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, Ronnie DeVoe, Johnny Gill, and Ralph Trevesant will all be involved. Bobby Brown has declined to be involved because he is busy trying to catch his breath.
When you say be involved, you mean how? Be
they
involved
will co-produce.
In the movie?
They will co-produce
oh, okay,
the project.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, because no, they're going to hire younger
no, they're
going
to play themselves at 12, Bean. That's
well,
what I meant.
I was curious. That's why I was wondering what you meant, be involved.
Well, I didn't say will play themselves. I didn't say have been cast.
Okay.
They've given their blessing, and they will participate. The three-night event will air on BET in 2016, so we got that to look forward to.
They're so good.
Agree.
Come on, Ralph, cool it now.
Ooh, watch out. You're gonna lose control. Come on, Ralph.
Why are you not in? This sounds like if you write your wheelhouse.
This is why Kevin left.
This is why he's no longer on the show.
No one should be subjected to Bean and She Bean without any sort of buffer.
Can I leave?
Yes, I think we all should. Let's all go. Donald Trump.
Shut up, She Bean.
That's right.
Okay.
Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly still at odds with each other. Megyn Kelly had the audacity during the Republican debate to ask Donald Trump about times he called women fat pigs and things.
A very reasonable question.
How dare she bring that up?
Hey, are you really presidential if you call women fat pigs?
I was very nice to her. She wasn't very nice to me. Well, she was asked, would she apologize to Donald Trump? And she said, I will certainly not apologize for doing good journalism. As soon as I do some, I will not apologize for it, she said. Mr. Trump has been doing interviews over the weekend where he attacked her personally. But she said, I have decided not to respond. So she's going to take the high road. But I'm thinking, I don't know, pudding wrestling? Get those two together in a big vat of pudding?
No. No.
I just feel like they're going to do it at this point. I just think this is all foreplay. They're just circling
each other.
Yeah.
She's going to run her fingers through his hair.
Well, what's left of it, yeah.
Then get someone to remove his hair from her fingers.
Is it just clamped on?
Yep. More politics and showbiz news. Little House on the Prairie star Melissa Gilbert will be running for Congress as a Democrat in Michigan's 8th District, which includes includes the state capital, Lansing, and Oakland, Ingham, and Livingston counties in Michigan. She and her husband apparently live there. I did not know that. I'm running for Congress to make life a little easier for the families who feel they have fallen through the cracks in today's economy, she said. She used to make her own clothes, and they would churn their own butter and milk the cows and go down to the Olsen store, get some penny candy, and get a bolt of fabric and go back and make her own drapes. I remember that.
They were pretending to live in the 1900s for a TV
series. So she knows about bad economies. She knows what it's like to have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
That wasn't real life for her.
Occasionally Father Murphy would stop by and help out, but for the most part, she was on her own, just she and her family. Her sister went blind because of lack of adequate health care.
She was a rich teenager who was acting in a television show. She didn't live through any of that, what you described.
How hot was Mary's husband?
How hot was Mary?
Right?
Especially when she was blind.
Wait. Why was she hotter? Because she was blind?
I don't know.
Are blind girls hot?
There was something about that, yeah. Really pretty blind girls are hot.
Because you can do stuff that they don't know about?
How do they know about it, Bean? They're not in a coma.
No, I mean,
what are you doing to that she doesn't know you're doing to her? She's not numb, she's just blind. What the hell? What kind of thought process is that?
I was just thinking, I don't know what you were thinking. I was trying to figure out what you were thinking.
Well, you know what I wasn't thinking? You could do stuff to them that they wouldn't know you were doing.
Well, no, I thought maybe you were talking about like peeping them out or something like that.
Peeping them out? What does that even mean? What is peeping out? Is that a thing that you people do?
No, but I was thinking that maybe they were blind, so like you're watching them and they don't know you're in the room and stuff like that. I thought it was one of those deals.
Wow, you're
Ralph's the creepy one who was talking about
the scale.
Watching blind girls. Come on, wasn't me.
I was never talking about watching blind girls.
I didn't know.
Really,
I was asking.
Blind girls are hot.
I was asking for Claire. Well, then you tell me why blind girls are hot, then, if it's not that.
Because they're beautiful and they're sexy, but they don't know how beautiful and sexy they are because they can't see themselves in the mirror and get a big head about it.
Oh, and you look at them when they don't know you're there.
No,
in the shower,
that's not
stuff.
What I'm saying.
So weird.
Damn it, Bean.
No, that's a reasonable assumption
not
that that's
reasonable.
What you meant.
Creepazoid?
All right.
Wow, that went south so fast.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's way
a
creepy.
Lot. A lot.
You can look at them when you're in the room with them.
I was asking what you were saying.
Peep them out is what he said.
Peep them out?
That may not be the expression.
You think?
I don't know.
Any expression after the 1900s, Bean doesn't quite have a grasp on.
I can peep them out, see?
You can take him down to the Pony Express Depot, pick up the mail, wait for the Wells Fargo wagon to roll in. And really hot blind girls can't judge you on your looks.
That's a good point. Thank you, Raleigh.
They have to just know what your personality is like because that's how they judge you.
Okay.
You're not peeping them out.
I didn't know.
Okay, all right. Okay. It's time for us to get out of this now. Can we stop with people making noises?
Bing, bing, bing.
Bleh, bleh.
Oh.
Really? At long last, are we just reduced to this?
I'm afraid so.
Just a random series of guttural noises coming from people.
A show. We're just hitting buttons.
It's the saddest day ever.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
You dudes are legends.
All right.
Yeah. Rapper Asher Roth is 30 years old today. Rapper Asher Roth is hard to say, by the way. Mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth is 32. Actress Anna Gunn. 47. Joe Rogan, UFC announcer, comedian, actor extraordinaire, hunter of meaty eats, 48 years old. Viola Davis is 50. And wrestler Hulk Hogan celebrates his 62nd birthday today. I'm still saddened that he has been ostracized by his wrestling community, but gotta watch your mouth, Hulkster.
And by the way, for what it's worth, what he said was horrible and offensive and should never have been said.
Right.
He said it in the privacy of his own bedroom.
Well, don't go in your bedroom and say things. I think that's the moral of the story.
I am a little uncomfortable with somebody saying something, no matter how offensive, not in public, in private, that was being recorded, and then you lose your whole livelihood over that.
Yeah.
But that's the world in which we live.
Well, before he spoke, he should have checked to see if anybody was peeping him out.
That's a good point.
He should have made sure nobody was peeping him out where he was. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
Thank you, Ralph. Do you know any blind girls, by the way, or is this just a fantasy thing for you?
For some reason, throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was a spate of telemovies about attractive women who lost their sight for some reason. It was like a recurring theme. Mm-hmm. In a series of especially TV movies, especially, but also feature films like Ice Castles and things like that. And I just remember growing up as a prepubescent boy and going through puberty as well, that whenever there was an attractive blind girl, I was thinking, well, there you go. That's the good deal right there. That's the best of all possible worlds. Smoking hot blind girl, doesn't know how hot she is, doesn't know how ugly you are. It's right. Magic. It's right. Kismet.
You could be a troll, and she loves you for your personality.
See? That was my point. Not and then, they could do things to them.
No, all right. Hey, tomorrow on an all-new Kevin DeBeach show, we're going to forget the ugliness of this conversation even happened.
Talk to blind girls and do things to them.
I would like to talk to blind girls. I think that would be interesting. Adam Carolla joins us tomorrow with What's Your Take? We also have Liz Winstead. She is a comedy legend, co-creator of The Daily Show, among other things. She's in town for a show at the Largo. We'll talk to her also. P-Rod will be here. Paul Rodriguez Jr. talking about his new skating movie called We Are Blood. All of that and more. George Ezra tickets for the Red Bull Soundspace here at K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, right here on the world-famous K-Rock.